This is All Things Considered on VPR. I'm Henry Epp. Vermont health officials are requesting help from the Centers for Disease Control as they try to contain a COVID-19 outbreak at a nursing home in Burlington, which has already claimed the life of one resident at the facility. A day after announcing the death of an elderly female resident at Burlington Health and Rehab who tested positive for COVID-19, Commissioner of Health Mark Levine said today that four other residents of the nursing home have also tested positive for the disease. So that's the latest on the health front amid COVID-19 in Vermont, but the virus is also likely to cause a shock to the state's financial system. Thousands of workers are being laid off as restaurants, bars, and businesses shut down or see their income fall as people stay home. How to help those businesses, workers, and shore up state revenues are top priorities for Vermont lawmakers as they prepare to return next week. VPR's John Dillon has been following the legislative action this week, and he's with us now. Hey, John.
Hi, Henry.
So the legislature adjourned a week ago to limit mass gatherings in the state house because of the virus. They were supposed to come back this coming Tuesday, but obviously things have changed. So what's the plan now?
They've been talking all week about how to vote on certain items to address the COVID-19 crisis. And even though they haven't been in session, Senate committees have been meeting remotely in the House and Senate. They've been meeting frequently via conference calls, and they get together in what they call a caucus of the whole, which is in the Senate up to 30 people on the call, in the House 150, to discuss bills and logistics. So I should first talk about the logistics, because getting them all back and debating these issues is a challenge. Mm-hmm. And then we can get into some of the specifics. The state constitution says you have to be present to vote. And the Senate has 30 people, so that would be possible under the governor's executive order that limits mass gatherings of 50 or more.
But the demographics of the legislature puts many lawmakers in the high-risk group. Many of them are older. They're not all spring chickens. So is it safe for even 30 of them to be in the building together?
Well, that's exactly what they're trying to figure out. So one idea is to get everything all set, you know, everybody on the same page with these bills. Everything gets discussed and agreed to beforehand. So in the Senate, only 16 would be needed to vote. Mm-hmm. So that's one idea under discussion. It's kind of a flexible democracy, if you will. Another idea is that if more could be there if they maintain this social distancing we're all focused on,
yeah.
By listening to a broadcast. So within the state house, the audio of the proceedings is piped into the Senate cloakroom, the Senate secretary's office, so people could be separated and listen in there, and even, you know, like say yay or nay from there, probably.
Okay. So that's the Senate. What about the House, John? It has 150 people. So how do they all get together in one place?
Yeah, that's really problematic, right? So the House leaders are working on it, working out their own game plan. Sort of procedurally, they don't have to come back at the exact same time, because the House, right before they left, passed a bunch of stuff, including a COVID-19 package that the Senate now has before it. So they'll likely come back at some point next week, maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. A lot depends on what the Senate does with that package. If it's not changed, or if the House agrees to the changes, they could concur, you know, quickly. You know, one idea is a staggered roll call vote. So you come into the chamber in groups of under 50. The House committees, meanwhile, will begin to meet virtually next week with a public phone option or video option, which is what the Senate has been doing all week. They're also discussing, I should say, ways to have committee votes remotely. Again, that's not permitted. You have to be present for committee votes as well. There might be a way to do that under rules and then have that expire when the state of emergency is lifted.
Okay. So that's the logistics. John, what are some of the issues that they're dealing with right now?
Well, unemployment insurance is a huge one. The House bill extends unemployment to people laid off as a result of the COVID crisis, like the restaurant workers. There's some discussion expanding that to people who have to stay at home to take care of their kids because of the crisis and can't go to work. As we know, child care centers are closed. Mm-hmm. There's also provisions to help hospitals and healthcare providers. One provision would allow telemedicine to qualify for insurance reimbursement. They also want to help hospitals, you know, just in whatever way they can with cash flow, but some of it doesn't need legislation. For example, hospitals pay a provider tax, and the administration can just postpone that on its own without a statute.
Yeah. They also have to pass a budget at some point, something they're typically working on around this time. What about the state revenues going forward?
Yeah. I mean, the legislature's big job is to pass a budget, both a capital bill and a general fund budget. And the impact of this on that is a big unknown or it's known, but not the magnitude. Mm-hmm. Here's Senate President Tim Ash talking about just the short-term impact to state coffers.
Just to put things in perspective, you know, we're, again, talking about a potential $100 million or more reduction in the short in the 2020 budget, so the next 3 months.
So do you think they'll look for new revenue of some kind to make up for a big budget shortfall, new taxes or something?
I think everything's going to be on the table at some point as this evolves. The Joint Fiscal Office is projecting 120 to 140 million decline in revenues next fiscal year. So I think a lot of things are going to be discussed. There was some talk at the Senate conference call today about bonding now that interest rates are low, you know, taxes. I think all of it's going to be on the table as a way to pull out of it.
And just finally, briefly, John, the legislature is, of course, a public body, and they're supposed to meet and deliberate for the most part in public settings. Are they putting restrictions on public access to their work at this time since they're meeting virtually or over the phone?
Yeah, this is really unprecedented. So because of the state of the emergency, they're discussing not allowing the public into the people's house, which is just phenomenally huge. I mean, but I think the public may accept that. It would not be obviously permanent, but they're talking about, you know, not letting the public in. Obviously, they can listen through our stream and other ways. They're also talking about putting limits on media who could be present. That's the subject of some discussion today, whether there'll be pool coverage. So it's a new world for all of us, including people, lobbyists, everybody who uses that building in Montpelier here.
That's VPR's John Dillon. He's been following the legislature's response to the COVID-19 crisis. John, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Henry.